or less. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 7, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. On the good and faithful God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. Stand in awe and sin not. Bid your heart be still. Through the silent watches, think upon his will. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 7. Thank you.
scripture reading for this afternoon's worship service you can find in the first book of Moses called Genesis, and thereof the fifth chapter. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years, and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahal Laleel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahal Laleel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalaleel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. And Mahalaleel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-seeing, righteous, just, holy, God of the heavens, God of the earth, and we created in thy image, in thy likeness, as we have heard. But we have turned everything upside down, created in knowledge, created righteous, and created holy. And what have we done with it? O Lord, give to us hearts that might mourn for our sin, that we might see with a mourning heart our wretchedness, our guilt, our depravity, and thy goodness, thy long-suffering, and thy justice, but also thy mercy and thy grace, that we may be brought to thy footstool as one who is needy, as one who is destitute, as one who must die. For all the rivers run into the sea, and yet that sea is not full. And the grave never says that it is enough. As we have heard of the generations of Adam from the beginning, and he died, and so the ends of the world have come upon us and upon our children, and nothing has changed. It is the same sin, but we can read of the same grace. O Lord, bind it upon our hearts, that we indeed may consider from where we have come, how deep we have fallen, and where we are going. For this life is short, vapor and handbreadth, labor and sorrow, and then we fly away. And we have to stand at thy judgment seat. And then there is no man that will be able to answer a single question of 1,000. Then we shall call to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. O Lord, bind it upon our hearts, for we go on, even as the beasts of the field, day by day, eating and drinking and making merry. But we consider not our life. O Lord, then it takes a miracle from thee, a new birth, regeneration. It is the mighty power of thy most Holy Spirit that we and our children need, each one the same thing, to raise us from that spiritual death, to give us new longings, a new life, new desires, a new will, a renewed will, and hunger and a thirst after spiritual meat and drink, which we cannot partake of, except that we are drawn by thee and by thy Father. O Lord, bind it then upon us, we and our dear children, else that we live and we die as we have been born, only to enter into that eternal judgment with a baptized forehead, forever to burn in us and in our consciences, having known the way, but having had no desire to walk in that way. Oh, that it may be different in the heart of this one or that one, yea, for each and every one, young and old, that thou may bless thy word, O Lord, that may be read, that may be preached here in our own congregation, that thou thyself would arise and wilt thou cause us to arise from the dead. Even as the dead dry bones were spoken to and did arise and flesh did come upon them. O thou art able, Lord, alone to give this blessing unto us, and therefore we attempt to draw nigh unto thee in this afternoon hour before thy word will begun to be preached once again. For we stand in need of thy Holy Spirit to bring that word, but also to receive it. Oh, we ask of thee then that thou wouldest send him forth, and that thou wouldest speak, O Lord, in heaven upon thy throne where thou livest, and where thou seest and beholdest all the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth. Oh, that thou thyself would speak then and send him forth unto us and unto our children who do not deserve the least of all thy notice or attention. But we cannot do without thee. Our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day. But wilt thou show us mercy and take them all away? And wilt thou magnify the name of thy dear and only begotten Son? O thou sayest in him, I am well pleased. O that thou may give us also to be well pleased in him. And when there are those among us who cannot see the way, that thou wouldest open it unto them, and that thou mightest reveal thyself out of from behind the lattice. O that thou mightest show them thine eyes, and thy blessed eyes with which thou dost see, and that thou wouldest speak unto them with thine own lips that they might hear, and that thou mayest sweetly draw them. O that thou mayest show unto them that thou art the way, and that thou art the truth, and that thou art that life. Oh, then they shall come, Lord, with weeping and with supplications. And then true faith shall be brought into exercise. And then thy name will be magnified in all that thou hast done for thy dear and beloved church upon that cursed tree, when they may behold thee, when they may behold all thy merits, and then all their own merits shall fall away. And then they shall see what God has provided for a sinful and a wretched people. O Lord, remember us all together. There is none that is too young to die. O that thou mayest then give in the midst of us that light from above, that we might know and see ourselves, and that we might see and know thee, and the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Wilt thou give thy word that blessing, that it may be felt with power in the midst of the congregation, and also in the midst of the world in which we live, wherever it does go forth, wherever thy name is preached, wherever thy word is brought, that there may be those who are coming under that word of the King when it is coming with power, that the arrows may be shot forth, and that men may cry out in the battle, "Carry me out, for I am sore wounded." O Lord, give that ointment of healing, the balm in Gilead, to those indeed who do cry out of all their wretchedness and of all their misery, and that thou mayest give thy word a place in the midst of the world in which we are living, wherein sin has run rampant, and when it is openly committed, and when our guilt does rise up unto thee, and when we make ourselves worthy, that thou wouldest cut off men once again from the face of the earth. O Lord, then thy anger must wax hot against us. But oh, that thou mayest look upon us in thy mercy and remember thy dear church and spare us yet, and that many may be brought in, that we and also our children and our grandchildren and may receive of thy grace while it is still called today, that thou may look upon our rulers and all that reign over us, and wilt thou give to them the tender fear of thy most holy name, and that thou mayest bring us back again with the judges of our lands. All thou knowest where they are also, give them faithfulness. And wilt thou watch over and protect them also, when they may rule according to thy word, and when they are threatened by so many, but that thou mayest watch over them for good and increase the number who desire so to walk in the midst of the labors that thou dost place upon them. And remember thou all the youth. Remember them in the time when there is no school, and that thou wouldst watch over and protect them, keep them from the temptations of the devil and from this world, which are so many and which are so strong. Give them a desire also to be together on this Saturday, and when we hope to be together with the youth of the congregations, and that thou may give them also a desire to be among us and to hear out of thy holy word, and that thou mayest remember also the meeting which we hope to hold in this week, and that those that must travel may receive traveling mercies and be protected upon their way. And when we hope to meet with an office bearers conference, that thou may give help there also, and that thou mayest bless all the labors, give wisdom, and give the tender fear of thy most holy name, and show what is according to thy most holy word. Give faithfulness in all things. Remember him who hopes to go before us in a service also, therefore, that thou may strengthen him in that labor, and that thou may look upon all thy church, all thy servants, the candidate and the student, and those that labor upon the mission field, give an increase in their number. And wilt thou bless the work of the hands of all those that labor for thee. Be with us as a consistory. Give us wisdom, give us strength. And wilt thou grant us the fear of thy name in all the labors of our hands. Help us also in this afternoon hour. Strengthen us for the labor of preaching thy holy word, and that thou may fill our mouth with words from thee, and that are suitable for thy own children, for thy own church. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 327 and all the stanzas. Lord, and thy word to me remember, and thou hast made me hope in thee. This my comfort in affliction, that thy word hath quickened me. All the stanzas of Psalter 327. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. And thereof the fifth and the sixth verses. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So far the words of our text. Enoch, pleasing to God. First, how Enoch pleased God. And second, the special blessing received by Enoch, who pleased God. Enoch pleasing to God. First, how Enoch pleased God. And second, the special blessing received by Enoch, who pleased God. Congregation, who is Enoch? Jude says he is the seventh from Adam, that is, including Adam. He was not from the line of Cain, but from the line of Seth, the godly line of Seth. 365 years he lived upon the face of this world. That was not very long for those days, but of Enoch we read something very special. And what is that? We read that he pleased God. And that is, congregation, a very remarkable thing, that a man has pleased God. Why is that remarkable? Because that is the very purpose for which God has created us. But what has happened? We can read, David says, that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, if there were any that did seek God. And what did he find? He found that they are all gone aside, that they are all together become filthy, that there is none that doeth good, it says. No, not one. Did that ever come home to us? Have we ever been included in all of these persons of whom the Lord says there is not one that doeth good? You say, what about Enoch? Because we don't read about his sin in the Bible like we read about the sin of David, or that we read about the sin of Solomon, how that he departed from the Lord. But we only read that he pleased God. That does not mean, of course, that he was not included, because Enoch was also conceived and born in sin. It only proves one thing. Do you know what that proves? It proves the efficacy of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that for? That is to restore a man. To restore a man to his purpose. That a man may once again please God. Does that make your heart burn? Does that do something to your heart, children, young people? When you may hear that that is possible for a man once again to please God. Oh, that life of sanctification that is never complete here below. That is going further for one than it is for another. But that life of sanctification that is the intent, that is the end, that is the purpose of the Spirit of the Lord to restore the creature of God who has fallen so away from pleasing Him and that is pleasing to the Lord. Of Enoch we read, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony. That was not a testimony of man, but that was a testimony of the Lord Himself. Thus the Lord declares from heaven that it is possible that a man once again pleases Him. Not in heaven only, because there they will please Him. But we read here that he had this testimony, it says, before his translation, that is, before he went to heaven, while he was still here upon this earth. What an inestimable privilege that would be. If the Lord from heaven would say that of us, that this man, that that woman, that this boy, that that girl, they are pleasing in my holy sight, that he looked upon us with his favor and not in his wrath and not with disgust. We please ourselves. And we work sometimes to please other persons. But how much is it in our thought to please God? It is not in our thoughts. But it can come in the thoughts of a little child. There was a man in Grand Rapids. He could tell how that he was converted when he was just a little boy. He was only 5 years old, playing with his toys on the floor, children, boys and girls. And you are not too young to be converted unto the Lord. And if the Lord converts you, then you will have one desire in your heart. That is the desire to be restored again into what you were. In our father Adam, that was what we heard. We have heard that Adam was made in the likeness of God. If the Lord converts you when you are a little boy, a little girl, then you will have a desire also to please God. How is that done? How is it possible to please God? What kind of life is a life that is pleasing unto the Lord? That is a life that is according to His holy word. That is a life that is according to His holy law. Do you know what Enoch writes? What Moses writes of Enoch? Moses writes, he walked with God. He walked with Him. Do you ever walk with one another, young people? Who do you walk with? You know what Amos says? He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Oh, then it is necessary if man walks with God that he is in agreement with God. John says that we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. He says, to keep his commandments, that is what is pleasing to him. You know what we even read the Lord Jesus. We read that when that rich young ruler came to him, he said, "Lord, all these things have I kept from my youth up." And then we read the Lord Jesus loved him. That was not with that eternal love with which he loves his people, as far as we know. We never really came back again. But when a man, even in an outward way, does walk according to the commandments of the Lord, that is pleasing to him. The Lord Jesus said that to his disciples. "If ye love me, keep my commandments," he said. Do we keep his commandments? That is well pleasing to him. That is well pleasing unto his Father. Thus our walk is our walk. A walk with God. You will say, young people, that is not so easy in our days, because there are so many temptations in our days. And you are right. You are very right. So what do you do with those temptations? Do you see how close you can come to them? Or do you see how far away you can stay from them? Thus, it is greatly different. But those temptations, do you think those temptations now were not in the days of Enoch? Because Enoch lived in a very wicked world. It was a world that was also full of temptations and persecutions. The wickedness of the world was at that time very fast increasing. That was only 600 years before the flood. And Enoch was himself the great-grandfather of Noah. And now Jude writes about Enoch. He says that Enoch did not go along. It was the opposite that he warned. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Ungodly, over and over and over, because that's what that world had become through the temptation of the devil. And what did Enoch do? Enoch warned them. Enoch prophesied also of the judgments that were coming over them. And now two times, because Moses repeats it, and he declares that Enoch did not join these persons two times over again, and Enoch walked with God. That is, despite all the wickedness that was all around him. Thus, the Bible depicts Enoch as a man who was standing all alone. You know what that is, young people? To stand all alone. You have a Christian school. That is a great blessing. Oh, children, you have now the summer off. And when you are in school or elsewhere, is there someone who stands alone? You ever see that, boys and girls? Young people, you ever see that? There is a boy, there is a girl. They're all alone. You know where that happens sometimes? It happens in our own school. Is that not awful? That happens with our own people. Is that not awful? Oh, just put yourself in that place, children. What will you do now when someone is standing all alone? Will you not make friends with that boy? Will you not make friends with that girl? But young people, some of you, you're going to go to university. And more than you have ever experienced in your life, you may be standing there all alone in the midst of a wicked world. And then you are going to feel something of what it meant for Enoch when he was standing all alone. Or maybe you need to work in this place or in that place. You say, that is the only place that I have now to work. But I stand here all alone. Because these persons, they do not believe the same thing that I believe. And they do not walk the same way that we walk. Or will you then stand all alone? Enoch stood all alone. Or do we say that wrong? Or do we say that wrong? Did Enoch really stand all alone? Oh, Enoch was not alone. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will manifest, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That is something. That is what happened in the life of Enoch. Sure, he stood all alone in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. But do you know what we read? We read Enoch walked with God. And if Enoch walked with God, then it is also the other way around. Then God also walked with Enoch. And then you can be sure that Enoch was not alone. Then there was a blessed communion. Oh, then there was a blessed sharing. You know what Enoch could do then? In all his troubles and in all his afflictions. Do you know what he could do then? When he felt all alone, when he was persecuted all alone, when he had difficulties and trials and questions, do you know where he could go then? Oh, Enoch walked with God. The Lord is never far from his people. But now, when the ways of his people please him, then he also manifests himself to them. The Lord Jesus, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and manifest myself to him. I will speak to him. I will show myself to him. I will reveal myself to him. What does the bride say? He brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Do you know what that is? That is heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. What else is heaven? But that he will show himself, that he will manifest himself, and that people may walk with him, and that he would walk with them. Oh, Enoch, blessed Enoch, who may walk with God. Oh, maybe you say, if only I could attain to this. But oh, to walk with God. Ah, you say, if only I could do that. To walk with God as Enoch. But I find that so impossible. Oh, Enoch's heart, what was that? That must have been a heart that is so different than my heart. Enoch had a godly heart then, and I do not have a godly heart. I have an ungodly heart. You know, when I read in the Bible about Paul, then I can find myself more in that. You say, Paul said, I find there a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Oh, that is what I find. And so that I cannot walk with God. And God, He is far from me. And I am far from Him. Oh, you say, blessed Enoch. Oh, they are the living complaints of that true church of God. That is not the complaint of the reprobate, because the reprobate have no desire to walk with God. The reprobate have no desire to please God. But this is now that great change. The great change that regeneration is working in the heart of God's children. When their whole life that is going toward that one end, that they may please God because of the love of God that is poured out in their heart. That is a blessed life. Is that an easy life? No, that is not an easy life. Because that is a life that is a warfare. That is the life of a militant church. Why? Because there are still temptations. And those temptations, they are so nice for my flesh. My flesh is drawn after them. But my heart is made to sorrow because I have a desire in my heart that I may please God. And the longer that battle goes on, the longer that I experience that I can only lose in that battle, more and more I only have to experience that I cannot please God. Is that your life? Do you know what the Lord teaches you then? The Lord teaches you what He has taught unto Enoch. What does Paul say? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Does the Lord give you that instruction in your soul, in the warfare? That is the instruction of the Spirit of the Lord for His own church. Oh, it is true. Oh, that obedience, that blessed obedience to His law that is pleasing to God, because they are His own holy commandments, and that sanctification, oh, that is the purpose. That is the end. The Lord is going to restore that church into their holiness to give them not only that right to be with Him in justification, but also to cleanse them, to renew their will, that they may be fit also in holiness to be with Him. But Paul declares, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, Paul says elsewhere, he says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. But now, that perfection in sanctification, that is what is missing. It is missing in the life of that church here below. That was not with Enoch also. Or he was also missing that sanctification. That was, we read, before his translation. And yet it says, he pleased God. How can that be? He was missing that perfection. And yet he pleased God. And Paul declares that. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Thus, Enoch pleased the Lord by faith. Or you say, the obedience of God's people that is pleasing to him. But it does not satisfy him. It cannot satisfy him. But now Paul says, that breach is made up for that people. How? By faith. Oh, it is by faith that Enoch may completely please God. It is by faith that Enoch may walk with God. It is by faith that Enoch may satisfy God. Ah, you say faith is also imperfect. Faith is also mixed with sin. Faith is also weak. Is that then pleasing unto God? Oh, how many fears are in the life of God's people. How that the devil is coming to say that life of yours that is not pleasing to God, but it is not faith itself. No, it is not the exercises of faith in themselves, but it is the object of faith that is pleasing unto God. And now it is the smallest faith. It is the smallest hanging on unto those objects of faith that are so pleasing unto God. You say, what is that faith? What are then those objects of faith? Paul speaks about it. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. What is that? He must believe that he is. You say, well, that must be that he must believe that God exists. That is true. Because if a man does not believe that God exists, then certainly a man cannot come unto God. See, he must have faith. That is true. But do you know what it is? It is only half the truth. It is only half the truth. And there are multitudes and multitudes of people in the world who are deceived for a never-ending eternity with half of the truth. The devil propagates half-truths because half-truths bring people unto him. By half-truths they remain in his kingdom. How many believe that they come to God with a historical faith? How many believe to come to God with a temporary faith? What do they believe? And they honestly believe it, that God exists. Do you believe that God exists? Maybe you have some doubts sometimes whether God exists. We make a profession of the existence of God, historical faith. And by the historical faith, we fold our hands, we close our eyes, and we bow our knees, and we pray, and we come to God. Is that now the coming that Paul is speaking about? Is that the faith that Paul is speaking about? He is not. It is a different faith, and it is a different coming. But we're going to sing first. 312, 1, 2, 3, and 6. I love the Lord who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. 1, 2, 3, and 6 of 312. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That does not mean simply his existence, but it speaks about who that God is. Thus we read that the Lord said to Moses, I am that I am. Take thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I am a holy God. Barbarians and Melita, they were afraid of the gods. You see that serpent that has hung on Paul's hand. The gods, they are angry with him. They do not suffer him to live. They are looking for him to fall down dead. Why are they so afraid? They're barbarians. They have a conscience. Conscience speaks to all men in the whole world. They say there is a God. And we have to appear before that God. How many today do not know who that God is, before whom that we must appear? Say, well, it is just God. It's relative. It may be different for you than he is for me. That is, congregation, an insult unto God. Would be an insult to us if we were just relative. God is unchangeable. God is a being. God is unknown unto men because of the fall. But God has revealed himself in his holy word. Paul says, he that cometh to God. What man with a conscience would dare to come to God? We'd rather run from God. We'd rather flee from God when our conscience is speaking. That is why Paul says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He must believe who God is, must know something about God. What must he know? He must know something of his mercy. He must know something of his grace in order that he may come to God, because he will not come if God is only wrath, then he will only flee. For he cometh, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What is that? It does not say, and that he is a rewarder of them that keep that law of God. He is. He is a rewarder of them that keep that law of God to perfection. Paul does not say that here. No, he says, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, the Lord cannot reward a man when he is keeping that law. But why? That imperfection. But he says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, even when that perfection, keeping that holy law that is so pleasing to him, but when that perfection now, he says, is missing, and for that people who are not able to reach that perfection that their heart desires in the way of sanctification, that the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is now that faith that the Apostle Paul is speaking about. And he says that this faith is pleasing unto the Lord. Oh, who is that man that diligently seeks him by this faith? Because the Lord Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. All who will seek him, you say, first the man must be born again, otherwise we do not see God at all. And then a man, he has to be cut off. He has to be cut off of all of his own merits and find out for himself that he cannot receive any reward thereby. And then, or he must be brought to know something of who God is by that blessed revelation of his only begotten Son, so that he now becomes the object of faith, who is so well pleasing unto his Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Bartimaeus, he experienced in his life no sight. What can that man do about it? Nothing. Nothing. He may sit there and beg. And then he heard that Jesus was coming. And what did that man begin to do? He began to diligently seek him. Oh, so much came in the way. Is that coming your way too, young people? Oh, would you like to seek him too? The devil will fight against it if you will seek the Lord in your youth. And that Bartimaeus, he began to cry. And the people say, you be quiet. Multitudes of people. He doesn't answer you. Stop. You're just a bother to everyone. But he diligently sought him. Oh, we see a woman, an issue of blood. She spent all her living on other physicians, and she was done. It was hopeless. It was impossible. She was a dying woman. And then she heard of Jesus. And then she began to seek him. Oh, she began to diligently seek him. Against everything that came against it. You are a woman who is polluted. Oh, you cannot come near unto him. He is holy. He is a righteous God. And yet that woman, oh, she believed that he was a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, she believed, if I may only touch that hem of his garment, then I shall be clean. And so she came to him. And when she came to him, she was not put to shame. Oh, she believed. She believed that he was the rewarder. And indeed, she was rewarded. And so that was also with Enoch. Before his translation, we read, he pleased God. How? That was not merely by the obedience to the law. That is pleasing to God. But Paul says he pleased him by faith. Why? Because without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, it is so pleasing to God when a bankrupt and a poor soul does draw nigh to him with nothing left. That is pleasing unto the Lord. Because it is so magnifying for his Son. Do you know it is pleasing to the Lord? Or when his Son, who has given himself for wretched and miserable creatures, when his Son may now send his Spirit, say, there is one. There is one. Apply. Because that man, that woman, They are not able to save themselves. They have such a desire to please me. And their tears, they are flowing by night and by day. And when their tears are not flowing, their heart is so grieved because it is so hard. And now go. Because we read, the Father sends His Spirit and the Son sends His Spirit. And it is the delight of the Father and the delight of the Son to say unto that Spirit, go now and reveal my dear Son and my own pleasure, my good pleasure, that the people, that they may now believe that it is well-pleasing to me. That when they may only believe that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. The Lord, David says, He takes pleasure in them that fear Him, in them that hope in His mercy. And now this Enoch, he received a special blessing from the Lord. Do you know what we read? We read, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. You know what Moses writes? And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Very special blessing. Enoch was taken by the Lord. The Lord had a special blessing for Enoch, who had such a desire in his heart to please Him. The Lord is free. He can have one closer to Himself than another. Think about Peter and James and John. And Elijah, who was given to forego death, was brought into heaven. There will be many that will also be included in this. When the Lord is coming to judge the quick and the dead, and when He is appearing on the clouds of heaven, and that trumpet will sound, and then there will be many of God's children who are still alive in that day, they shall never die. They shall never die. When He is coming and that trumpet is sounding, then it is going to be with them just like it was with Enoch and with Elijah. We do not know how that happened with Enoch. We do not speculate how that happened. But it is in a moment that this mortality has put on immortality, and this carnal has put on incorruption. And when he is received into the blessed glory of God, and then it is so far beyond what we can know here below. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. There are so many funerals today in which we hear about heaven. And it seems like they all go to heaven now. Doesn't matter what your life was like. Doesn't matter how that was lived. But then as a certain, well, we try to give hope. We try to give comfort. What comfort is that? The words of a man. If that can comfort you, it is not good. Then it is not good. We read something here. Enoch had a testimony before his translation. Before his translation. That is the great difference. Do we have such a testimony? While we are on the earth, because we are also going to die. Do we ever think about that? If the Lord gives us, then we are going to lay also in a coffin. And our wife, our husband, maybe our mother, our father, our children, they will gather around that coffin. How difficult. How impossible. Then we have to part with one another. And so we always speak about comfort. Then what is comfort? We heard that. The only comfort in life and in death. Do we have that now? You know what then is great comfort to our loved ones? When they are weeping, when their heart is mourning, when there has been a testimony. When there has been a testimony before our translation, before that we go from life into death, a testimony while we have still been here in this world. I don't mean just with our mouth, because that is not the testimony that Enoch had. But he had this testimony that he pleased God, that he walked with God. Will our loved ones have also that testimony to comfort them in the day of our death? The Lord says, by their fruits ye shall know them. How that they have walked, how that they have conversed here upon this world. Congregation, it is pleasing to God to obey his holy law. Will you remember that, boys and girls? Oh, the Lord give to you in your youth a desire to please God, to be holy. But now that obedience, that has to flow out of something. That has to flow out, the apostle says, of true faith. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, that obedience by which he is pleased is actually an obedience which is flowing out of something. It is flowing out of his grace. It is flowing out of his Son. It is flowing out of the deliverance that a heart is receiving from him. Oh, it is a reward of grace given to wretched, to miserable sinners, diligently seeking him. Diligently seeking him. Oh, have you ever diligently sought him? Has the Spirit wrought that seeking in your soul that is well-pleasing to God when a poor, when a bankrupt sinner comes to him with no other expectation, believing that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant that true faith unto those who seek and who desire to please thee, for whom there is so much disappointment when they cannot please thee. But oh, bring them in such a way, in their inner chambers, in their inner heart, in their inner being, to come to thee, believing that thou art merciful, that thou art gracious, and that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Oh, give those desires in the hearts of young and old, could it be for the first time or by renewal. Do bless thy word to that end. Humble us under thy help given. And wilt thou remember her that must go into the hospital for surgery in this week? And wilt thou guide the hands of the physicians? And wilt thou supply from above? And make thou all things well, and visit also her soul. Oh, that thou may remember all the weak and all the afflicted, those that receive treatments, be on their right and on their left hand in thy mercy. Dismiss us with thy blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 27, all the stanzas. O God, preserve me, for in thee alone my trust has stood. My soul has said, thou art my Lord, my chief and only good. 27, 1 through 5. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.